Hebrews chapter 2, verse 6, there's a statement made there. The writer said, "What is man that thou art mindful of him?" If you get a week or 2 weeks or something other, you ain't got nothing to do, that'd be enough to keep you busy for a while. What is man? You ever thought about that? What is man that God, kind of goes back to what I said a while ago, in spite of ourselves, still cares for us like we do? What's special about man? What is man? What is man that God's mindful of him? Well, I mean, you know, you could, scripturally speaking, I guess you could say man is, he's a creature. And we find out in Genesis, man was created in the image of God. He's a being that has a soul, spirit, conscience. Kind of makes us a distinct from the rest of the animal family, I guess, if you want to put it that way. We have a conscience, and we have a soul, and we have a spirit. What is man? What is man that they are mindful of him? I think sometimes just in meditating and thinking sometimes, get to thinking, we don't have any favor with God. I guess you know that, don't you? There's a lot in there I don't understand. I'd be the first to admit it. I mean, a lot. Not too much that I do understand, brother. But I'm amazed that a God, as big as he is, and a God that created the universe, a God that could take the planet Earth and just hold it up like that, be nothing to him. I'm just trying to get us to see how big he is. A God that's beyond anything that we can imagine. Amen. That would have anything to do with somebody like me. That's a pretty big thought. What is man? Well, he's a created being. God created him in his own image. He give us a mind and a conscience, and God give us, he didn't just create us and then that was it. He give us instructions on what to do, how to act, where to go, where not to go. And we need all those things. But there's one part right here, and this is what I kind of want to get into. I'm just trying to get us to think in the right direction. And the text I want to read on the lesson today is in Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 11. Start in verse 11. Familiar text, we all know it, probably to quote it. It says, "And that knowing the time, that now is high time to wake out of sleep. For now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness. Let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envy. But put you on the Lord Jesus Christ. Make not provisions for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof." Now, going back to what I was talking about a minute ago, what is man? God created man. Like I said, a lot I don't understand, but we know we have the Bible, the history of the creation of man, fall of man, and all those things. There's two things mentioned in this scripture that I read here that I want us to look at. And God created man, and like I said, he gave us instructions, give us a road map to live by. And there's two things, and there's many more than these two things mentioned here. One of them is in verse 11, time. And the other one is in verse 14, the flesh. And I don't know if this is the right word or not, but it's best I could do. I'm going to say two elements. And these two elements in the life of man is, I guess, two things that maybe we're controlled by. But think about time. We're put here on this earth, and Bible said, man born of a woman a few days and full of trouble. Has to do with time. Says we're like the grass, like a flower. Flower springs up, it's pretty for a little while, and then it withereth away. Brother Lord, when you get our age, you look at time a little bit different than you did when you was about 15 or 16. But that's an element that God's placed us under. I guess you could probably say it's kind of a restriction that we got to live by. And this earth as we know it is governed by time. Now God, he's not governed by no time. He's not governed by anything. This is the element we have to live with as human beings. And it says here, and that knowing the time, I wonder sometimes if we understand the time, Brother Gale, that we live in. I mean, we've been on this earth now somewhere around since creation of man, 4,000 years, give or take. And the Bible teaches us, and this is that roadmap that we have, instructions, that there'll come a time when there won't be no time as we know it. But until that time, we've got to live by the time that we've been given. The Bible said once appointed unto man death, and after this the judgment. Time again. I was thinking as I was studying this, I guess this would be the average probably or whatever. Man's given, what was it, 70 years. Somebody that's a little smarter than I am can tell me, I believe that's about 70, ain't it? Well, some people in here is over that. And by reason, you know, you might go be a little better than that, Brother Gil. You've done pretty good. A lot of us have, some of you have in here. I'm fast approaching that.
Yeah, I've already lived out my 40 score now.
Yeah. God's been good to you, hasn't he? I'm getting about that 70. Getting close. But anyway, time as we know it. And that knowing the time, the Bible has a lot to say about time. And how we as, and again I hadn't mentioned, but as we as God's people look at time. Scripturally speaking, looking at time. And that knowing the time. Well, I thought about time and just thought about some places in the Bible that mentions specific time. In 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 1 says, this know also, that in the last days, time again, perilous time shall come. I don't want to be a teacher of gloom and doom, but there's a lot going on. If you look around, Brother Lord, a lot of going on in the time that we live in today. I think you can kind of look at the time, the timeline. Don't have to be real smart to figure out that this thing's a winding down. This now also, in the last days, perilous time shall come. Men shall be lovers of their own self, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, furious, despisers of those that do good. Any of that sound familiar? Another place he said in 1 Peter, 2 Peter, I believe it is. Let me see if I ain't got that where I can get it. 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 1. But there were false prophets also among the people, speaking of last days. There were false prophets also among the people, as there shall be false teachers among you, who privately shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that brought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction. And many shall follow the pernicious ways. In 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1, now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times, get it, that in the latter times many shall depart from the faith. Time is something we ought to give thought to as God's people. 2 Timothy 3 and 13 says, but evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. The element of time, and that knowing the time. I'm saying all this to get around to something else if I can get it on my mind. To understand the time that we live in, it's really important to us as God's people to know where we stand. And I know, Pastor, I'm like you. I get caught up in watching Fox News. I'm guilty of that. But I do it for a reason. Because I want to know what's going on around me. And I feel like that's one of the few places that I can get. And I'm not saying it's all 100% truth. I know. But we got to be able to discern, pick out the good and leave the bad. But I kind of want to know what's going on where we're at. Now, the best place to find that out is right here. But you know what? And I don't say this boastfully or happy about it or nothing like that. But most of the time, we'd rather believe Fox News than we would this.
Yeah.
But it's important, and what I'm getting at, it's important for us to know as God's people, not to stick your head in the sand, not to know anything that's going on around you, but to understand where we're at in God's timetable. And I know if you could take a survey in here this morning, every one of us in here, we would say that I believe we're living in the last days. But there's some things. And that knowing the time, that now is high time to wake out of sleep. Number one, if we know what time we're living in, we're going to be more alert. For now is our salvation nearer than when we believe. This thing is slipping away. It amazes me sometimes. And I guess, and I don't know, I don't think I'd be just like this by myself. I guess we probably all maybe to some extent anyway. But I look back over just my life, which is just a speck in this time. And it just seems like no time to where my daughters was 2 and 3 and 4 year old. And I was in the basement, preacher there one day this week working, piddling, wasn't working, just sweating. And I had some CDs there that I bought at the flea market. I was working on an old golf cart and it had that CD player in. I thought, man, I'm going to see if that thing will work. And I put one of them in there. And lo and behold, the song that come up had to do with that. And it kind of got my attention when it started playing, you know how things are. And I got to listening to that, and it really messed with my mind. It talked about this young couple getting married. Times were hard was kind of the theme of the song. This young couple getting married, and it was rough, preacher, and so in line with my life, as I and most of us in here probably. That young couple got married, and first thing you know, they're having a baby. And the name of it, and you may have heard it, was Best Is Yet to Come. Really had a spiritual ending to it. I mean, the thought on it, and I like that. But anyway, it talked about having that baby, and it started growing up, and things progress and come along, and had grandkids. Talked about that a little bit, and then it talked about when we get where we're at right now. Well, all of us in here are about the same. Let me tell you what it said. The best is yet to come. Talking about time. But it says something on down here I think is really important to us. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness. And encouragement to do what we're going to do before it's too late to do it. I bet, as anybody in here that's can look back over their life and wish maybe that they'd done something a little different about it. Or maybe that there's something they didn't do that they wish they hadn't done. That's what this is talking about. We're about out of time. This is an element that we're governed by on this planet Earth. Everybody is. I never thought about this in the sense that I have today. Time. You know, if I had somebody in here this morning, a teenager or something, I could tell them it won't be long. It won't be long till you'll be where we're at today if the Lord don't come back. And you'll be looking back. You knew what I thought about this. Preacher, had I known this like I do today when I was 20-year-old or 25-year-old or somewhere around that, I'd have probably done some things different. But this time element we're governed by goes by so unnoticed. Brother Larry, after a while you look around and you look at Murray and there's something there that wasn't there before. And Murray looks at Larry and Murray, it's there for him too. All of us. Ages creep up on us. The time element. Look here. Let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting, drunkenness, not in chambering wantonness, not in strife and envy. But put ye on the Lord Jesus and make no provisions for the flesh. Another place, I believe it says, make no provisions for tomorrow. Is that right? I think what this is talking about here is this other element of the flesh, and we know Paul said, for I know that in my flesh dwelleth no good thing. That's another element that's against us. And I read this and I thought about it and meditated on it. It says, make not provisions for the flesh. And a lot of times we'd be guilty of looking at that and saying, you know, let's don't do anything, plan anything for tomorrow. You know, just today, but that's really not what that means. That means don't premeditate on it. Don't let it take sole possession of our thought. That don't mean you can't look out here in the morning and say, I've got to eat breakfast. That's not what it means at all. It's saying don't let that dominate your thought. Premeditate. We all know what that is. Don't let it take sole possession. The reason for that is because when you do that and you clutter the mind, you know, I talked about that to start with, the mind. Brother Lowell, like I said, you keep the thinking straight and everything else will fall in order. And that's what he's saying here. And Peter said in 2 Peter chapter 1 verse 5, and besides this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, virtue knowledge, knowledge temperance, temperance patience, patience godliness, godliness brotherly kindness charity. And he says, if these things be in you unabound, they make you that you shall need barren, be not, neither be barren or unfruitful. Again, looking back over our life and time, that barren and unfruitful finds a place somewhere in that. And I hate that. I regret it. I wish I'd have done things different. Philippians 4:8 says, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any praise, if there be any virtue, think on these things. One of my favorite places is in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7. For God hath not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love. And the one I'm really interested in right now is of a sound mind. If you want to get up on the game of life and time, keep you thinking straight. Don't let it get cluttered with the cares of life. I think that's what he's talking about here. Let us walk honestly. You think about all these things now. And I think all relates back to our thinking, our frame of mind. Let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting or drunkenness, not in chambering or wantonness, not in strife or envy. But put on the Lord Jesus Christ. That'd about take care of all of it, wouldn't it? But somehow or another, we refuse to do that because of that flesh that Paul talked about. Two elements, time and flesh. And make not provisions for the flesh. That's the old man that we want to take care of most of the time. To fulfill the lust thereof. Time. Time. Comes and goes. And there used to be an old saying, where it goes, nobody knows. It gets away from us, don't it? We're creatures. God put it again. What is man? That they are mindful of him. Now, I'll tell you something. There's more there than I can explain or even start to shake a stick at. But there is some stuff here that I believe is God's people we can get a hold of. We could say, I guess it's too late, but it's not. God's been good to us. Been really good to us. We shouldn't come here this morning with a I say we shouldn't, and I'm not saying you. I said we. However, I know we do a lot of times with a sense of apathy and I don't know, just we come a lot of times, I know, to church and we come with just the thought of be a coming, just to be coming, because it's the right thing to do. Or but I think about, what if God looked at it like we do? Boy, we'd be in a mess, wouldn't we? We ought to do what we can. Before time's gone, it'd be too late. For most of us, that time's about gone. And that ought to make us more thankful, I guess, of how caring God is toward us, how loving He is toward us, how good He is to us in spite of us. If I was on the other end, boy, it'd be a lot different. I don't say that. I say that bragging on the Lord. He knows us and still loves us. I think that's a good reason this morning for us to worship Him. Thank you for listening this morning.